Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, sir.
I've been to church.
Yes.
I came to worship.
Amen.
Came to praise him.
Amen.
Yeah. Got your Bibles. Go to the book of Genesis today. Genesis today. Chapter 3. You people that are watching by live stream our church, would you do me a favor? Will you share the message? What I'm preaching today needs to be heard. I really want to share it. And you in the church, once you get out of here, go back to the website, will you share it too? Because what I'm preaching today, it's as old as the beginning, but it's still happening today. And I want to preach it. I got something on my heart. You ever had something just burning on your heart? Well, I got this on my heart. Go to Genesis 3, place that you're familiar with. If you don't mind, stand for the reading of the word. Genesis 3, 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Father, right now, you take charge of my being. I don't want to speak anything other than the truth of the gospel and the word. But I do need your boldness this morning and your help that I will not be worried about what the world thinks, carnal Christianity thinks, but Lord, I'll be emboldened by the truth and we'll praise you this morning in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our Bible begins in the beginning, God. By the way, God doesn't try to prove his existence. Somebody help me preach. The Bible said in Romans, the invisible things of the creation have already been revealed. If you don't know there's a God after seeing this great creation, if you don't know there's a God, by the way, he even gave you a conscience with a God-like conscience. Hey, he's given us a canon of scripture that we ought to know there's a God. And the revelation of Christ ought to make full proof that there is a God. By the way, God got it all started. When there was nothing, there was God. God painted the world. We didn't come from a tadpole and become an ape. And now you are what you are. I want to tell you where we came from. God got the dust of the earth. For man. Breathed into man's nostrils. He became a living soul. Then he made him a helpmate called woman. And by the way, I'm glad he did. I say this to my wife all the time. Whoa, man. It wasn't Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. God established the family. Put them in the garden. In innocence, enjoying the majesty and the blessings of the garden. They had the best fruit. They had everything. That was wonderful. The only thing they weren't allowed to do was eat of one tree in the middle of the garden. And God said, everything else is yours. That's off limits. Somebody help me preach. And God created all of us and created the world. And in verse 27, chapter 1, when he created the world, he said it was good. Then when he created man and woman, he said it was very good. By the way, I still think one man for one woman is very good. I do not believe in sodomy. I do not believe in a homosexual agenda. I do not believe in lesbianism. It is false. It is perverted. It is wrong. And I'm going to keep preaching this. The serpent, you know the story, comes to Eve. By the way, she had a maid in the shade drinking pink lemonade. She had a grape. By the way, and you in this room, you have a grape. You ought to be glad for what God's done for you. But I want you to know the devil's something else. He's sly. He's cunning. Yeah, he's loose. And here's what he done to her. He painted her a big picture. And she listened to him until it got too late. You mind me doing something? I'm going to borrow, if you don't mind, from my text, some slang. I said, okay. By the way, y'all people kind of used to this kind of talk. But I'm going to give you a little slang. It's a bad thing when you get played. Somebody help me preach. Let me define getting played. To get fooled. To get tricked. To get used. To get strung out. Get played is a proposition that ends up with a product and ends up with tragedy. Hey, I know a lot of Christians right now are getting played. I know a lot of sinners that are getting played. Help me preach. There's a lot of people stepping into things that they don't really want. We're living in a, hey, by the way, we're not in the Garden of Eden. They were in a perfect environment. But I want to tell you, God's been good to us. He saved us. He sealed us. He put us into a wonderful local church. And by the way, we're in a great environment. And you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to knock you out of that environment. He wants to play you. Amen. So here's what I'm preaching on this morning. When you get played by the devil. By the way, he's still playing people. I know people not in church today, he done played them. I know people that's went through 3 or 4 marriages, he played them. I know people right now whose kids are spread out all over the place on drugs and on alcohol. You said, what happened? They got played. Now, I'm going to show you. By the way, hey, Jeff, this is old, but I want you to know the same God that done it to Eve is still doing it to people today. Here's what I'm preaching on, preach. When you get played by the devil, how's it work? How does he do this? How many of y'all know some folks that used to serve God? You watch them on Facebook, they done went crazy. They got played. They're making bad choices. They're doing bad things. And you said, how's that happen? Well, I'm going to show you. Look at the Bible. Stay with me. Chapter 3, verse 1. Just look at me. First of all, here's how it happens. Here's what the devil does. Here's how he plays people. First of all, he leads you to doubt. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Hey, what did he do? First thing first, trying to make her doubt the Word of God. I won't tell you what he done to her. He got her confused about the obvious. Here's the obvious. There's a tree there. You stay away from it. Somebody help me preach. Whether you like it or not, God still got boundaries. He got boundaries for the church. He got boundaries for the home. He got boundaries for you as an individual. God has boundaries. Amen. Amen. And he confused her about the obvious. I want to tell you something. And by the way, he's still doing that today. Let me say a few things. Do you really think you need to read your Bible? Do you really think you ought to get married and stay pure till you do? Do you really think that you ought to pray? Do you really think that you ought to pay your tithe and be so faithful? Do you really think that you ought to go to church and pull your kids and put them in church? Do you really do you really believe that's the truth? Do you really have, oh good Lord, have to monitor your internet? Do you really have to go soul winning? Come on now. Here's what he does. He takes the obvious and then starts making you doubt. He plays you. You know why some of you got in deep sin, got in trouble, got a mess, and you're on your way to hell, some of you? Because you've been played by the devil. It's obvious you ought to get saved. It's obvious you ought to get right with God. It's obvious you ought to go to church, pay your tithe, be faithful, do right. That's good preaching. And now here's how he played her. So he confused her about the obvious. Then, once he does that, and you know, I know some Christians that are confused as a termite and a yo-yo. They went through bad marriages. Now they don't. Listen, you go through one bad, you better make sure you don't get another bad one.
You're right, preacher.
Boy, it's quiet in here.
Amen.
I must be talking to some people getting played. Amen. But here's what he does. Then you contemplate an alternative option. Okay? The obvious. You know you're supposed to do right, but let me give you another option. You really need to do something else. Then they conversate with your actual opponent. You know what's real dumb? It's for you to get into a conversation and an alignment with the devil. Somebody help me preach. And there's too many people today chatting and chatting with the devil. Hello. I know a lot of people, they get on Facebook and they ought to have their face in the book, and they get in their little chats and they chat with the wrong person. And they flirt with the wrong person. And they infiltrate the wrong people. Don't you know that's what happens when the devil starts tempting you and starts playing you? He'll confuse you about the obvious. Then he said, how about another opportunity? And let's just chat about it. Do you think you ought to listen to that guy, that dinosaur, John Smith? Been in that church 42 years. He's a dinosaur. He's old school. He's too straight. He's too narrow. Why don't you break loose from that kind of preaching? Get some freedom. Get some. Hey, he's holding back. Get some pleasure. Go ahead and do that outfit, and you're going to end up in trouble, and you're going to end up in tragedy. Number two, am I preaching? How many of y'all know folk that done that this has happened to them? Number two, look at verse 2 and 3. He goes on. Then I see the lies of deception She started talking with him. Look at verse 2 and 3. And the woman said unto the serpent, what's he doing talking to him? What are you doing flirting around with the devil? Listen to bad music and listen to bad things. Listen to bad people. Hey, if you're here lost, he'll get you in hell. And if you're here saved, he'll get you messed up. Amen. Verse 4 and 5. You know what he says to her? God didn't tell you everything. God's holding back on you. That's lie number one of the devil. God's holding back on you. Hey, you can have a lot better life outside that. He's holding back on you. That's what the devil says. Oh, you don't have enough. You could have a lot more if you wasn't under that rigid system. What rigid system? One tree in the garden when they had all the other? And you know, some of you, look at me. God has blessed you. He's got so much for you. And you're going after one ignorant thing. Some of you going after another woman or another man. Somebody help me preach. Some of you going after alcohol and drugs and pornography. Help me preach, somebody. What he's doing, he's playing you. Am I doing all right, Chad? Here's what he said. Don't be so narrow-minded. A little drink's okay. By the way, you're going to get married, just have a toast of champagne at your wedding. By the way, thank God for Christians that don't need champagne at their wedding and don't need to get in the world at their wedding, that they ought to know what they do when they get married is for life, and they want to be built on something good. Hallelujah. How many of you know you're saved? How many of you know that you got the person of Christ in you and you got a mansion on the hilltop, and anything less than that is a counterfeit and is bad, and if you take that bait, you're going to get played. Whew. See, God meant what he said. When he put that tree there, he didn't say, oops. I'm going to say something. I want to come down there so bad, but I ain't. You look at me. God don't have no oopses. God made no mistakes. God's word is true. And he just told him, just gave him one boundary. He ain't no made no mistake about salvation. There's one way to heaven. Hey, he ain't made no mistake about sin, the shedding of blood. There's one way. Somebody help. God makes no mistakes and tells no lies. And anything outside of God, his word is a lie. Somebody help me. I think I'm doing all right. Yeah. Number 3. I'm moving on. Look at verse 6. Let me show you how you get played. The lure of desirability. Look at verse 6. Are you there? Say amen. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and did eat, and gave also unto her own husband, or her husband, with her, and he did eat. Let me show you something. The lure of desirability. First of all, I see a perverted appetite. You know what the devil tries to do? He tries to pervert your appetite. Hey, by the way, yes, it looked like it was good for food, but God gave him a whole garden full of things that were good for food. Somebody say amen. Now I'm gonna make, I wrote this down, and I'm gonna quote this. Josh, you might get this sometime. I wrote this down. Can I read this? Sorry to read a quote. The devil magnifies what's off limits and de-emphasizes what is right. I don't think he got it. The devil magnifies what's off limits and de-emphasizes what is right. And I see people done sold out to him, hooked up with him. Hey, going the wrong way. But you know why? Because the devil magnified something else. Don't you think this would be good for food? Just take that. I'll tell you a story. Two, actually, back to back. There's a situation that happened 35 years ago. There's a man that said he was Christian, but I don't think he was. He had beer in his refrigerator and alcohol. And he had little kids. Come on now. And I guess he thought it was just okay. Well, I'll tell you what happened. His little boy, 7 years old, got into the kitchen and got into the refrigerator and drank two or three beers and got drunk. Got out on his bicycle, got run over, died. Well, what's quiet in here? Hello? Then we had a Bible school one day, back in the day when we had big Bible schools. And we'd get a bunch of people saved. Marge Litton used to run that thing back then. And we'd get a bunch of people saved. And we got an Episcopalian's boy saved, about 9 years old. Episcopalian come to me and he said, "What have you done to our kid?" I thought maybe they shot him or something. I don't know what. I said, "Ain't nothing. Didn't do nothing." He said, he's religious. He's an Episcopalian. He's been confirmed. I said, "All he done was ask Christ to save him." My man, back off. Then I guess he got in on this thing. Then he looked at me and said, "I suppose you're one of them preachers that don't believe in drinking." I said, "Where'd that come from?" I said, "Nobody." And I shouldn't have said this. This was what I call a Freudian slip. I said, "Well, all you are is a whiskey pagan. I mean, an Episcopalian." And I just told him the story about the little 7 year old that got in the beer case. And I said, "You got beer in your refrigerator. And I want you to know something, sir. Your boy probably's going to get into it one of these days, mess his life up." He looked at me. He started crying. He said, "I don't want that to happen. I led him to Jesus. His boy got saved. His wife got saved. Somebody help me preach. I want you something. There's something better. The devil tries to magnify. He plays you. He magnifies what's off limits." Here's another quote. See, here's what he tries to do. He tries to make me quiet God and question God. It leads me to be dissatisfied with God's provision and discontent with God's presence. Don't he do it? He said, "Well, just don't listen to God. Some of you listen, by the way, Elijah, you listen in this room. You better be listening to God."
Amen. You're right, preacher. Amen.
There's things off limits.
Yes, sir.
And said, there's people that I know that the devil painted the picture to them, and they got off into deep sin. They got off into the unimaginable. It started out just with a little mild pornography. Then it goes into hardcore pornography. And anytime you do that, you're getting ready to be a pervert. Boy, it's quiet in here. Y'all saved? Y'all believe this? Am I preaching? See, to say I'm not satisfied with God, I must go somewhere else. What an insult to God. God's got everything wonderful for you. By the way, David said, how many can vouch for David? "I was young and I'm now old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Woo! I want y'all to know, I got some friends that got played. See, they wanted a different menu See, here's what happens. The devil advertises. Somebody help me preach. See, but God don't. See, don't be confused with advertisement, but also get close to actuality. Amen. Oh, let me explain. How many travel a lot? Raise your hand. How many's ever traveled and saw a billboard and said this? The best hamburger in the nation. I went down to some place. It was called something like Juicy Burger or something. I don't know. I said, and it said the best French fries and the best and I love hamburgers. Lord God, I like to have a little infusion of one right now. And I said, I was out on the road doing evangelism. I said, well, man, that's the best hamburger in America. I went in there. He said, you know, Juicy Burger, big grill, juicy, good. Went there to taste like paper. And the French fries was the hardest, blandest, goofiest thing I ever put in my mouth. You know why? I looked at advertisement, but I never looked at the actuality of it and talked to somebody that experienced it. See, some of you, listen to me, there's people who have experienced tragedy in your life, and you ought to look at them and say, I don't want no part of that. I ain't going down that path. I ain't messing my life up. I ain't messing my children up. I ain't messing my home up. I'm not going. It looks good, but it ain't no good. And I'm going to stay within the boundaries. And the devil's advertising. He's playing people. And some of you here lost. You know what he's doing? He's playing you. He's saying you got longer to wait. Just be patient. Live your life longer. Hey, listen, you don't know if you're going to die today. Am I preaching? I'm trying to get done, Chad. I'm slow this morning. Then it was pleasant, a pleasant appeal. It looked good. Hey, what looks like gold might not be gold. Then a personal aspiration, a desire to make one wise. Hey, you'll be smarter than God if you do it. And by the way, you know what some of your problem is? You think you're smarter than God right now. You think you can have a little God and a little bit of the world. And you're smart enough to take care of your own self. You're in trouble. Almost lastly. Fourthly, she lunged into disobedience. She took and ate and gave it to her husband. I'm going to take a survey of the church. How many have been listening to half of this anyway? How many believe it was a silly choice? Well, four of you. Everybody else is good with it. Four of you said it wasn't silly. So you mean plunging everybody in society into sin wasn't silly? Everybody ought to raise your hand and say, that's silly. I think maybe why you don't want to raise your hand and say silly, because you do silly stuff. It's silly to put something else in front of God. It's silly to let your marriage get destroyed. It's silly to be on alcohol. It's silly to be on pornography. It's silly to let your kids be rebels. Silly choice. Then short conviction. By the way, God told them when it happened that their eyes were going to be open. And they never knew what guilt was. Listen to me, I'm almost done. It would be a great thing in your life if you never know what guilt is. I want you to know the greatest thing about salvation is I'm not guilty anymore. Woo! I'm free from sin. I've been a pastor of a church like this. 60% of the people I deal with guilt. Either guilty about a broken relationship, guilty about getting into sin, guilty about how they raised their children, and they've found guilt. See, when the devil plays you, and after it's over, you're going to be eat up with guilt. There's people right now popping pills to try to calm their anxiety from all their guilt. They're shooting up in their arms to try to get a little relief from their guilt. They're doing all kinds of ignorant stuff to try to get relief from guilt. They tried their psychiatrists. They tried their psychologists. I tell you this morning, you need to call on Dr. Jesus. My sins, they're all gone. That leads me to the last point. The Lord of deliverance. You know what God done? After they got played? Now I want you to know something. I want to come down, everybody. I want you to know something. How many's ever felt real stupid after you got played? And by the way, you'd think that God would have just said, I'm done with you. How many's glad God wasn't done with you? You know what God done for us? I see the call of the sovereign. He come in, and the voice of God started talking to him and walking to him. How many remember the day that the voice of God came walking to you and talking to you and called you to be saved? By the way, God still calls people to be saved. Then God went in and did something else. He went and killed an animal, took the animal's skin and put it on them so their guilt would be wiped away. By the way, that animal was innocent. That animal had nothing to do with their sin. And that animal was a type of Christ, because Jesus came on the cross, had no sin, but bore your sin, took your place, and then gave you his righteousness. Somebody help me preach. Listen to me. Please listen to me. If you die and go to hell, it is because you listen to the devil and put off salvation and you got played. And hell is full of people that got played. But if some of you Christians keep going in the course you're going, not satisfied, not happy, want something else, want to start experimenting, come on, help me. Start experimenting. Got to find something that makes me satisfied. You know, I know people that I trusted and prayed for them are out right now hooked on liquor. I know one man right now out of church is a heroin addict. And he called me the other day. And we said, he didn't say it like this, but here's what he said. Here's what he said. He said, the devil destroyed me. And really what happened was the devil played him. I'm not trying to give you sad stories, but I'm going to tell you something. I've been here long enough that I know what's going on. And I know how people do. I know a young man that my boy loved him. The youth group loved him. Everybody loved him. He was a great guy. But the devil played him. And the devil put another woman in him, in front of him. And he went that way. Cheated on his wife. Committed adultery. His wife moved away. He come to my office, said, cried, said, oh, that's the worst choice. I said, the devil got you. The devil played that boy. A wonderful young man. He ended up dying in a motel. I went to his funeral. I didn't even recognize him. You said, what happened to him? He got played. And it was a tragedy. Those kids in my family still think about him, still talk about him. They adored him. He was what everybody would want in a man. But he got played. And he's dead. And you know what happens? Some of you are so desensitized to it. Oh, it won't happen to me. I'm too wise for that. Ah, the devil won't mess my home up. The devil won't get me on liquor. The devil won't destroy my life. You really think so? He'll play you. Hey, you listen by live stream, he'll play you. Don't get played by the devil. Maybe you've already been played and you're a Christian. You say, how do I get back if you confess your sins? He's faithful just to forgive your sins. Hey, how you get back? Come back to God. If you're here lost, please don't leave out that door lost today. Don't let the devil have his way with your life. Jesus died for you. Jesus bled for you. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to save you. And anything more than that is the devil playing you. Bow your head with me. I want some honesty this morning. How many people in this room? You're a mess right now. There's a lot of stuff going on in your life. And the devil's tricked you. And he's confused you. And you need to get back to God. How many Christians just slip your hand up and say, I need to get back to God? The devil's lied to me. I see hands. Come on, the devil's lied to me. Hey, be honest. Preacher, I'm not where I used to be with God. Help me be honest and slip up your hand and say, pray for me. It used to be better than it is now. How many people not saved? If you die today, you wouldn't go to heaven. But you don't want the devil to play you and you go to hell. How many right now wants to be saved before you die, before the Lord comes, and you just raise your hand and say, pray for me. I don't want to, God bless you. I don't want to, Lord, I don't want the devil to play me. I don't want to lose my life and my soul, and I don't want to be in hell forever. Raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher. Every Christian in this room that it feels like you've been tricked and you've been connived on and you made bad decisions ought to come up here and get right now. Stand up, stand to your feet. Father, Lord, help Christians, help sinners that want to come. Say, I don't want to be played. I want you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on.